Hey folks, this is Anatoly and you're listening to the Solana podcast. And today I have Alpha Ray with me, who is the co-founder and the force behind Radium. So awesome to have you here.
Hey Anatoly, really excited to be here.
Cool. Can you like tell me how you got into crypto? How you got started even building this?
Yeah, so back in 2017, December, actually, when Bitcoin was near its all-time peak, my buddies called me up and they were like, look, crypto is going crazy. You got to get in on this. At the time, I was working at a prop trading shop, working on arbitrage strategies. And I looked at basically Bitcoin at that time, and there was a crazy spread between Korea and the States. The spread was something like 30%. So over the course of a weekend for my first Bitcoin trade, I went to Korea, I bought a Bitcoin on a US market, and then I sold it to my Korean buddy who gave me a bunch of cash for it. We spent some of the cash on the weekend and then flew it all the way back and traded it, put it back into the bank. And that trip really just got me hooked. I did that trip a couple of more times afterwards and it got kind of tiring. So basically, I looked around on the exchanges and I found that there were really large spreads between different future contracts and also between spot Bitcoin. So got into trading, just doing a lot of arbitrage on crypto for the next couple of years. And last summer, got into DeFi. At that point, Compound was really heating up. And my buddies called me up once again. They were like, look at this Compound thing. It's really cool. Basically, it is like a giant bank. You can put USDT, USDC, your stablecoins into it, and you can borrow them out as well. You get interest on coins that you put in. You also get interest, or you pay interest on the coins you take out, and you also get some tokens in between. So I got really hooked on that for a bit, just doing a bunch of interest arbitrage. And then Yearn and Sushi, all these things started popping up one after another. All these AMMs just came out on the market. And it was really exciting getting around all these projects and looking at what they were doing, what their offerings were, and just doing a bunch of yield farming arbitrage across these projects. Then around September last year, gas prices started going really crazy. To swap a token and then farm it and harvest it, it would cost easily over $100. And that really bugged me, because what DeFi was all about to me was that everybody gets access to financial tools, right? Things that only large corporations, banks get access to were now available to regular people. And I really liked that idea. So when the gas fees got expensive, we started looking for ways to get around the gas fees. We were always trading on FTX, so we called up the FTX dudes and we're like, look, we want to work on something for the better of the community. And they were like, look, we're launching on Solana right now. We have this project called Serum. We're doing it all on Solana. The gas fees are super cheap there. Transactions are crazy fast. And it is a really great place to be. So we took a look at it and it was as they promised. Things were fast, things were cheap, and we really liked it. So yeah, that's how we got started.
That's awesome. How did you guys approach like the idea for Radium? What I really like about it is that it kind of borrows the best of AMMs, where you have this simple interface for liquidity providing and earning yields, but it's using Serum and order books and all this really cool tech.
Yeah. So when we started, we were talking to FTX when we started. We looked at Serum and we saw the order book and we're like, yes, this is exactly what we need for an AMM, right? We need a trading interface for users that gives them more control than just swapping. The swaps were some of the most painful experiences of your life. When you try and get in on a trade really quickly and the price just moves out of your slippage, you wait 15 minutes. And the transaction failed. Right? The order book is really useful in those regards because you can see exactly what orders are out there and you can set the price a little higher. You could just be a little quicker to grab onto those orders. So yeah, those order book was really exciting for us. And that's why we basically put everything on the order book.
Do you think that this is the future of DeFi? Like, when I looked at Uniswap, I used to trade small amounts on like interactive brokers trying to like build my cheesy algorithms. And I always felt like I was always late to the party. First, like if I saw the opportunity, somebody already got it ahead of me. And like it, that to me seems like what it's like being an LP in a Uniswap, is that you don't get to change your price. So you're always kind of just taking the worst price in the market. Do you think like the only way to really build DeFi is by kind of effectively building this style of trading where you constantly update your positions?
Well, it's not the only way, right? But it is definitely on the path towards it. Because this is one of the things that DeFi was really lacking, the order book. The order book is central to any exchange. It's been shown to the best method of finding a fair price for something in the past few hundred years. So it's definitely a step in the right direction, but there's a lot more to DeFi than just this, right? And basically there's a lot more to build than this, and we're also working on them. Right now, this is just the first step for us. An AMM is also just another piece of the puzzle.
Is the key part to me seems this like passive yield farming piece as like what people really like about AMMs. I think do you think in like a couple of years we're going to see this as a feature for, you know, stocks for like regular, you know, trading?
I think, yeah, it definitely has its merits to it, right? Because for an AMM, the user takes on some impermanent loss risk, and what they gain in terms of it is that they get transaction fee rebates, and they also get to earn spreads on slippage. But this hasn't proven to be super successful in terms of the risk-reward ratio for what users are expecting in crypto. And having a bit of yield to really boost the amount of liquidity that a platform can provide really does help that. Basically, users are looking for some sort of return for the risk they take on. And having additional yield gives this, basically balances out the equation. And these users in turn provide a lot of liquidity for these projects and for the different exchanges so that other users can trade against them. So it really helps balance out the whole system in terms of reward and risk for everybody.
When DeFi Summer kind of boomed, I think there was this question of, do these governance tokens have any value? Do you think that that's kind of passed, that like that they're important? this is like one of those things that like you saw a lot of people take advantage of and launch a bunch of veggie tokens that have all gone, but Compound and Aave are still here.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think governance tokens do serve a very real purpose, right? It is similar to becoming a citizen of a country and having a right to vote there, right? This is an ecosystem that you're a part of and that you want to succeed in. This is an ecosystem that's also helped you in many ways. It's very much like getting citizenship to a country where it does cost some time, effort, money, whatever, but you do also get returns from it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think the coolest thing to me about DeFi Summer was this really kind of really rapid formation of these, like, I don't know if you want to call them social networks or like digital cities, but it was a bunch of random strangers that could come together around a token. And all of a sudden, because they had this token, they could direct capital, right? They can go do collective capitalism, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's really nuts.
Yeah, forms of this exist, right? Like there's corporations and all sorts of other things, but all of the
Wall Street Bets?
Yeah, like communities like that exist. But like not as rapid and as anonymous and as like well-directed.
Yeah, it is crazy basically just communities building around these projects and just finding, connecting enough with them to start working with them for no payments, first of all, but also just because of their love for the project, right? It is pretty impressive.
Yeah. Can you tell me like what you guys are doing with like Fusion Pools, like some of those features?
Yeah. So Fusion Pools is something that we recently launched. They're pools where it is a token and Ray. Or actually, it doesn't have to be a token array. It's just where there's a partner token and the rewards come out in the partner token token. And so for some pools, Ray rewards will also be given for yield farming. One of the things about this is that some users don't just want to collect a lot of Ray. They might have a lot of Ray already, or they also support other projects, right? And this really gives projects the chance to reach out to their user base and reward them for supporting them, right? Providing liquidity for them. And we saw really good results from this with Kin. They had a large user base that was itching to get into DeFi. When we launched these pools, it was really obvious that all of them were really excited about it. Their Twitter started blowing up, their community started blowing up, and they started even invading our communities, being just like, Kin is going to do really well, and this is really great for them. And we also saw this from their volume and price action in the next few days. Their volume went up about eightfold for the next week or so, and their price doubled over the course of that weekend and has held pretty strong since then.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool. You guys have a bunch of features that I think people don't quite understand because they're used to, you know, they may not understand how like the technical nuance behind it. How does the actual AMM work if it's sharing liquidity with the central limit order book?
So what we do is we take all the tokens that users put into the LP pools and we place them onto the order book as limit orders. These limit orders are generally market making orders. So like they're orders that would sit on the order book to provide liquidity for other users to take. The orders are spaced out with a pretty decent bid-ask spread, generally much better than other market makers provide on Serum. And basically, they're calculated according to the K equals XY equation. So the original constant curve product. And it provides the same liquidity as Uniswap or SushiSwap would for the same trading prices.
Got it. Do you guys have any plans to build different kind of curves?
Yeah, for sure. Different curves are super important. This curve is, we chose this one first because it's a really elegant solution to a difficult problem. It provides limitless liquidity for any point, any price point, basically. What it means is that you could always have liquidity at any price. And that really makes things really simple in terms of what you can trade anything with it. But because you have the flexibility of trading anything with it, you give up a lot as well. Basically, you don't have as much liquidity near the center of the book as you would like. And this really hurts trading things like USDT, USDC, basically things that are very stable according to that trade very stably based on each other.
I guess highly correlated.
So it's very hard to trade stable assets or assets that are super high with super high correlation. Some of these assets might be USDT, USDC, or synthetic BTC with a wrapped BTC or other kinds of BTC, right? So there's definitely a need for different types of AMM models. We're also exploring how to build things, well, one for these stable assets and another for just being able to control IL better and be able to make more profits when the markets are more volatile or moving in a single direction.
So kind of tightening the spread and then loosening up, which is to me, like what an AMM does at like NASDAQ, right?
Yeah, basically.
That's cool. That's really cool. You guys were not one of the hackathon projects. As you guys kind of watched the community grow, what were your thoughts on like the things that people were building?
It's really impressive. When we started building, there were non-Flower projects on Solana yet. And then the hackathon came and there were hundreds of submissions and people had ideas for building everything. It's really exciting because we've reached out to a lot of these projects too about possible collaborations and to see if we could just help out around the ecosystem, right? Because we really do believe in this ecosystem as well. And yeah, we really want to help out the projects succeed within Solana.
I guess, what were like the, since you guys were building earlier, what were some of the good experiences and some of the bad ones? Like what are still the warts? And I don't know if you guys, have they been fixed yet or do we still have work to do?
There were so many ups and downs during all this. At the beginning, when we were building, it was just us and Serum there. So there was really nothing to reference on GitHub. Yeah, and you can't just go out, import a package and start using things. Yeah, Stack Exchange wasn't super helpful for some of the environment problems either. And Solana updating, like pushing 3 updates a week sometimes would really kill us. Having some validators on different versions when you guys are updating so quickly. But it was also really cool because some of the issues that we ran into yesterday were solved the day after. And those were really happy moments too.
Yeah, those were those were hard times. I mean, yeah. There was so much stuff being built at the same time because no one's ran a central limit order book before as a smart contract. So we were being pushed to the limit as well. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, working with the FTX team is something else, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, my experience with them has been that Sam has this magical way of shortening engineering timelines. It's just yeah. Talking, just for his words. He somehow can force them to shrink.
Yeah, it is pretty impressive. We're prepared to launch in late March, actually. And then in early February, Sam called us up and he's like, look, guys, we need to launch right now. And Serum's about to take off and Solana's doing really well. And there's a great future ahead of us if we can get this thing running really quickly. So we called up a lot of engineers and we said, look, no more vacation for the rest of the month. We got to get this going. We set up the couch in the office. And we took 2-hour shifts on the couch. And we'd have engineers waking each other up, be like, look, it's my turn. You gotta get off my couch now. Wow. It was hellish, but it was a lot of fun too. And we shipped out the product on really quickly.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that was really impressive. I think at the end of the day, that's what matters. It's like, do you have the drive to go get this over the line?
Yeah.
And to me, that's always been like the hardest thing in the space is to find those people. You know, it's like, you know, if you're building a community of investors, that's like kind of at the DeFi level, that's a hard problem to find those folks that have vision about like long-term what your project should be. But on the dev side in the ecosystem, it's really tough to find the builders that are like, okay, I need to sleep in the office on the couch for the next 2 weeks because the opportunity is
so. Yeah.
Yeah. Founders are their own worst bosses.
Oh, for sure.
I was like kind of, one of the surprising things to me coming out of the hackathon was this project called Cope that I've kind of never heard of, but seemed to be like, again, really cool way to build a community. How did you guys find collaborating with them? And can you like tell me about the Cope pools and stuff?
Oh man, the Cope people and the Cope pools are amazing. They did a totally fair launch with airdrops to their community. They built a huge community up overnight, basically. And their community actually built them a market on Serum, which we built a pool around and started launching. I think they have like one of the greatest communities in the world right now. They are all over this thing and they're going wild for COPE. So we just launched COPE a few hours ago, actually. We launched them at 9 p.m. We turn on pools and we turn on farming for them in the Fusion pools. And they had massive volume and their community was just all over this. In the first 2 hours of trading, they traded $500,000 on Serum, on just COPE USDC alone. And for reference, BTC on Serum traded about, I think, $4 million today. So these guys are going wild over COPE and they're just bringing the price all over the place. And they're also really getting into the pools. The pool has about $4 million in liquidity in it already, and it's still going up.
Yeah, this stuff is pretty wild. I mean, I'm amazed how quickly they were able to build this thing too.
Yeah.
What do you guys, I guess, what's in store in the future, if there's things you want to talk about?
So one of the projects that we're launching right now is a Radium launch pad. Basically, we want to help teams do community funding and IDOs on Serum and Radium. Basically, well, one of the issues we identified at the beginning was that there is a lack of projects on Solana. It's being helped a lot by the hackathon. But one of the reasons why there might be a lack of projects is because there's not a very good way to fundraise on Solana at that time, right? We want to show projects that if they can build here, we have a great fundraising platform with a really good community that will really get behind their projects. And that will help them with their launch and help them be able to build a great project in the future. So our Ray Launchpad is a big thing for us that we're planning to launch this month. And aside from that, we've also got the Sushi collaboration going. So Sushi collaboration is a big one for us too. We've gone through a few levels of proposals already, and they've all been overwhelmingly positive. So the Sushi collaboration basically is that on the Sushi Swap page, we would have another tab called Sushi Swap by Radium. It's codenamed Bonsai right now. And what it would be is that these pools would all be Radium pools, and users can deposit their tokens into these pools the same way as Radium or Sushi, and get their LP tokens and farm with them. And then the farming rewards would be like our Fusion pools, where users would get Sushi and Radium as rewards for these pools.
That's super cool. Man, this is awesome. I love that you guys are innovating. My dream for like building this platform was like to not copy Ethereum, was to actually do something totally different and then see what happens, right?
Yeah.
I have strong belief that central limit order books and that like horizontal scaling are like the path to giving all this tech to a billion people. And I love that you guys are like trying to do something different too. And this collaboration with Sushi is like symbiotic, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. We really like your ideas and building on Solana. Well, the power you have when you can have a fast chain to work on really makes all the difference in the world about like what you can do on it, right? It's been really cool building here too.
Awesome. Do you think that like the DeFi ecosystem is ready kind of for like real for consumer retail adoption? Or are we still like two kind of like building for each other still?
For retail adoption, yes, I think it is. But what really drives retail adoption is education, right? We've built out a lot of the services that retail users really do need. All of our products or what we're building is very retail oriented, but it is also really hard teaching retail users why they need it or how they can use it and what benefits they gain from using it. So I think that's really the hard part of it.
I mean, to me, like, I think the challenges are, there's so many. Cryptography is hard. The wallets are hard. And the idea of governance is also kind of really unique to crypto.
Yeah.
Has some parallels to, you know, proxy to stock voting, but nobody actually does any of it.
Yeah, that's true.
the participation in governance and crypto is, you know, 100x bigger than what you see in stocks, right? Like, just kind of crazy.
Yeah, crypto people, they are really about having a voice and doing what they want, right? When we threw up our sushi proposal, there were, I think, hundreds of replies on the original forum post. Everyone had their opinion. Everyone talked about their, like, what points that they were trying to get across and what they were feeling about this. Crypto people really like to get involved, and it's really fun being able to have chats with them, seeing what everyone's thinking, and being part of a larger community.
What kind of like governance features would you want to see from like the rest of the ecosystem? There's a bunch of folks kind of looking at this, and I'm curious what would make it easier for your community?
Across the Solana ecosystem, I think I saw a sneak peek of something like a snapshot system today, right? It looked like it was very similar, and it looked a lot prettier actually. So having one of these systems is super useful. And then it just comes down to creating a good governance system where people do get a voice and where people's opinions really do matter, right?
Yeah. Do you guys coordinate what kind of like groups do you guys use? Is it Discord or forums or both?
Right now, we're mostly on Discord. Our team is super, it's not very large right now. It's super busy. So we're still trying to get all the governance features up and running. Right now, we're mostly going according to our plan for the near future. But we're also trying to organize. We do have a governance chat in Discord, actually. And we're trying to get it a little bit more organized so that everyone can send their ideas out and we can see which people have the best ideas too, right?
Yeah. What kind of things do you guys usually vote on? Or like look for community support?
So we haven't had anything voted on yet, but we are looking for ideas on what to do with revenue, not revenue, but basically fees that we earn. Some users are saying that it should go into staking, which is what we're currently doing. Another set of users are saying that maybe we should put it into a buy and add liquidity model, where we buy a portion of our tokens back and we add it into one of our liquidity pools to like add further liquidity to our tokens. Others are about the buy and burn, and there's been some really good discussion on that recently.
That's really cool. That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's like a thriving community that's like arguing about the right things.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's amazing is that this stuff can change, right? Like you may want to do one thing today and then 6 months from now, do another thing. It's all just coordinated online and decentralized platforms. It's pretty wild. Do you know is your community like regional? Is it people from all over the world?
Our community is from all over the world, actually. We have one of our largest communities is Vietnam. We have Japan up there, even though we have no Japanese moderators or people on our team who can speak Japanese. I think Japan ranks number two on our site visits. Vietnam is really high. Korea is super high. Turkey's super high. And then we've been seeing some traffic from even Africa recently.
Cool. Yeah, that's pretty great. I'd love to see, like, when I look at, like, our validator list, I'd love to see more nodes in Africa and South America. Like, it feels like crypto's definitely has strong communities in Europe, North America, and Asia. But it feels like we're just starting to make inroads in the other parts of the world.
Yeah, it's super satisfying when you open up that analytics map and you just see little pings coming out of every continent.
Yeah.
And you're like, yes.
Yeah. I mean, the nodes are one thing. I think true decentralization is like really the people again, right? Like the people hold the private keys, right? Like getting them as far and wide spread out across the world is like the key part.
Yeah, for sure.
Is there anything that you want to kind of share for folks to look out for when this podcast gets shared?
One of the projects we're really looking forward to right now is Step Finance, which should be launching around that time. They are building an analytics page for the Solana ecosystem, for Serum, and also for Radium. Our site has been a little bit weak on analytics so far, but we hope to change that by working together with Step Finance and by also adding some more API and open sourcing a lot more things for users to start building their own projects around so that they can help us further develop our analytics.
That's really cool. Data is one of those things that's really hard to get. And this is what I'm jealous of Ethereum is like Etherscan and like doing analytics and all those integrations are quite nice. So I'm excited, to see folks kind of build this out in the ecosystem.
Yeah, data is super cool. It's really hard to work with, even harder to make it look nice and to convey your points or find the main points in it. But it is really cool to look at, and users, everybody wants to see more data about what's happening, right?
Yeah, for sure. When I started building Solana, like I was really frustrated with my experience trading on like interactive brokers because all the data is really expensive. And it's like you always feel like you're getting it way after everyone else has like extracted all the value out of it.
Yeah,
like it just seems like that world is incredibly unfair to small people trying to just kind of like have fun. You know, like it's not fun when you know that the sharks have this advantage that you cannot like overcome. You know, with brains, right? It makes it not fun to play the game.
Yeah, it really ruins it for everybody. We also were part of that. And then we've also done some trading in crypto. And crypto really changes this. Where in traditional finance, you need the capital to really start up. Getting these feeds costs millions of dollars a year. Getting all the feeds, connections, co-location, stuff like that. It is a huge capital investment. And yeah, it's really out of reach for everybody. But if you trade on crypto, you just need a cloud server from Amazon for like $15 a month. And if you trade on the blockchain, it's even cheaper, right? You just write a smart contract and you can get it to run itself, or a little bit of gas fees here and there would cost you like $1 a month.
Yeah, that's my dream. That's awesome. And you guys are making it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, really cool to have you on the show. And it's been awesome to watch your team like execute like crazy and turn coffee into code. I don't know if you guys drink coffee, but like,
well, yeah. So much of it.
it's amazing. So I wish you guys like continue having this amazing success and like keep building. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me. And it's been a lot of fun working with you guys too. You guys do the exact same thing, I think. We were in the early days, we were watching that code just fly by us, updates every day, every hour. It was really amazing.
Thank you so much.